Hello, mech fans, and welcome to the Valhalla Club. Grab yourself a Timbiki Dark, set up that paint booth, open that spreadsheet, and join us as we talk all things Battletech.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Valhalla Club podcast. I'll be your bartender tonight, Bourbon, and with me on the mics tonight is Mike the Viking and Matt the Northman. Say hello, fellas.
Howdy, howdy. Except I'm more Norse than all of you now.
It's true. You're like the North of Northmen.
Yeah, you're like extreme North now. Extreme North.
Some might say in another nation. I don't know.
In my own, literally in my own time zone.
All by myself. Oh man. Well, it's good to talk to you guys. So tonight we're gonna be doing some more deep dive into some of our technical readouts. So we're gonna start off with a return and report. Games played locally. Am I the only one that did anything this month?
Man, you are a great host today.
You are taking the cake.
It is all you today, baby.
Oh, man. So, what month is this? September. Oh, yeah. End of September. Yeah, let's see. Greg, a.k.a. Talls, and I got together one evening and did a test run of some Epic. That was interesting. We came up with some new questions to send over to the Wolfnet guys, and they can answer those and figure those things out. And then went to Copo.
Don't you love games that always, oh, I think it might be this, and I think it might be this. And then it's just, well, you actually stop and think about it, and you're just like, huh, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to achieve that objective.
So. What is the intent? Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a good game. I can't remember. We either tied or one of us edged the other one out. That was about it. All I remember. And then we did Copo last weekend, the Colorado Open AS350 down at Inconceivable Games in Castle Rock. Let's see. We had 8 players show up. So pretty much round robin. We did 3 rounds. And, you know, I was a player, so I wasn't really paying attention to who was doing what.
Was Charles there?
Charles was there. We ended up matching up, of course.
Of course.
The second round.
Who won this one? Whose turn was it?
I think Charles won by 1 objective point.
He pulls back ahead, huh?
Oh, you guys were tied, weren't you? Or
we were tied, so now he's up, I think.
So next turn's your turn?
Yeah, I think so.
Pressure's on.
I forget what game that was. Was it? I think it was Headhunter. Was it Headhunter? I don't. I think we only played Stand Up Fight, Headhunter, and Domination. Yeah, it was. It had to be Headhunter because I remember the Stand Up Fight guy I played was Jason, I believe. Seen him around at a couple other events in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other guy I played was a John. And I remember that was Domination because he was kind of new to the Alpha Strike scene. So I was kind of walking him through what needed to happen and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Charles and I played, I believe it was Headhunter. I believe it was. So
you play more Clanny Boys there for this one, or did you go back?
No, to I did. I did SLDF. So it was a Star League era lock. So, there was some Rimworlds, there was some Star League Defense Force, there was some more Rimworlds, I think.
That's another classic Ben Force, though.
It is. That was the first Force I played with.
Oh, what's that? OD Green?
Yep, OD Green. Gabriels.
Everyone has OD Green? Awesome.
Yeah.
I think I had 6 mechs that were all like skill 3, and yeah, it was pretty good. So we had a good time. Everybody walked away with something. So other than that
looked pretty dope.
Yeah, yeah. We had three proliferation boxes for the top three. There was an Alpha Strike box in there. There was another, I think the Alpha Strike box, two Alpha Strike boxes and three proliferation packs.
Well, those proliferation packs really fit in with the old Star League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
So.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like there's some type of box with new art on it?
Yeah, that was, I want to say that was the, how was that? I think it was the new box set of Game of Armored Combat, I think.
Yeah.
I think we broke that open and everybody got a mini out of there. And then we realized there weren't as many minis in it as we thought they were. Because it's been a while since we opened one of those up.
It so, has eight, right?
Yeah, I think it had eight. So
two lances?
Yeah. Kind of worked out. Eight or ten. I think it was eight because I got the last one.
I think
it was
two lances, yeah.
Yeah. So I ended up with a Shadowhawk and I traded it to somebody for another mini. I was like, I don't need another Shadowhawk. So. But yeah, that was pretty interesting, you know, kind of chill little non-competitive tournament kind of thing. So, what about you guys, Mike? What have you been up to?
Oh, you know me, bud. I have played nothing. In fact, I packed it all up, and then I put it in the truck, and then I drove 3,600 miles. But the house is getting set up. I've already repainted two rooms. We've acquired two new pets. The entertainment stand went up today. The surround sound is halfway up. I got to get some new speaker wire tomorrow from the store. The computer was set back up literally yesterday. Speaking of, I just had the internet moved from like where it comes into the house, right? To the other side of the house. So now I can, like, it's coming directly into the new game room, and holy shit, my down speed, 2300 megs. I'm wow. Literally getting 2.5 gigs down.
That's pretty good.
Yes. Even the guy that was set it up, he's like, you look like a gamer. I was like, yeah, because like everything's all set up and the computer was off, and he's like you can run speed tests on that so we can like see how it's working. And I was like, yeah. So I fired it up. He's like, can that computer do over a gig? I was like, it should. It's brand new, and it wasn't cheap. So that was nice. And then I still have not even opened my Kickstarter stuff yet. It's still in the garage. I need to get a little bit more situated. But I've been in contact with Morgoth. He's played MWO with us a few times. He literally lives like maybe 2 miles away. So It's already nice to have a homie in town. We'll get a little bit more set up. Yeah, we'll hit them up on a table. There's no game stores in Eagle River. Like, we'd have to go all the way, like, for a game store, we have to go all the way to Anchorage. But
you have enough game stuff, right?
Yeah, I've got a home.
I've got a garage now, guys. I've got my garage back. I have so much more space than that stupid townhouse. I miss my home. But yeah, it's good to be home. We're settling in. I've been busy as shit. I'm on terminal leave through the end of October. So my current job is literally get the house ready, repaint it. I got to install a door, build a tiny little wall for it. I got to rip the closet out of this room. I got a lot to do. But yeah, that's my update.
There you go. I've played maybe the same as Mike. No, I've probably looked at boxes more than Mike as far as BattleTech goes, but I haven't had the opportunity to play in the last little bit. My job gets a little bit busy during this time of year, all the way from kind of May through October, November. I'm traveling most weeks, so I don't have opportunities to play. Although I did stop in at one game store that carried BattleTech in Durango, Colorado. So that was as close as I got to playing. But yeah, here soon I'm going to start. We've got a little game store here in Gunnison, Colorado, and I'm going to be running some demos there. So that'll be fun to actually get out and play some with some people. I know one other couple in town that plays BattleTech. So.
Nice.
It's at least good to have a start.
Nice. Excellente. All right. Anything else for Return and Report?
I bought some minis from Ares. It's true.
Oh, there you go.
It was one of those things that I'm getting ready to go to the SoCal Open here in several weeks. And I picked out this force without looking at my minis. And then I looked through my minis and I didn't have any of them. The ones that I had picked out were already all painted. So I'm like, oh, I want fresh ones. They just all happen to be in separate packs. So I just bought 5 new packs for 5 mechs. But whatever. I ordered them Tuesday and got them today on a Friday.
He is quite speedy.
It is true.
Well, speaking of which, your local arms dealer update from Ares Games and Minis. They've recently got a restock of a lot of CGL products, restocks of books and force packs, and they are currently flush with Turbo Dork paint. So if you're in the market for some Turbo Dork paint, go out and grab some. I use it a lot, and it's pretty good paint.
Yeah, speaking of these restocks, I was kind of laughing at the restocks of all these older manuals, mm-hmm. like the Aerotech 2 and what other one? Oh, Maximum Tech. I was looking at those and just laughing and thinking how long it's been since I've seen these anywhere. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to if you're into a lot of the tracking, like figuring out where all the rules came from and how they kind of have evolved over the years, you know, it's good to check out some of those things, some of those older books, you know.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
No.
No.
All right. Let's get into the main metal. You guys ready for that?
I was born ready.
Ready as I'm gonna be.
All right. So the main metal for tonight, or today, or this morning, however you're listening, is the technical readouts. Okay. There's a number of technical readouts for those of you that are into that kind of stuff. But technical readouts are basically the artwork of every unit, mech and vehicle and helicopter and aerospace and jump ships and drop ships, all that kind of stuff. They have art for all those. And then they also have stats and kind of the history of why they got made the way they did get made. So, you know, they're pretty much the first book that a lot of people start looking through, in my mind, just because that's what got me hooked into the BattleTech universe was looking at the original 3025 TRO and like reading through that over and over and over again, and looking at the images in there of all. So, any other thoughts on TROs?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. They weren't exactly what got me started down the path of, into the dark side or whatever you want to say, but they were definitely what kind of fleshed out the universe for me. So when I think of a particular mech, usually mechs, but you know, it's got all sorts of units in these, it's always the image that I saw in these TROs. So even though there's like incredible art, especially nowadays, there's like incredible art out there outside of these TROs, it's still the TRO image that kind of pops up when you say the name, like, you know, a Hatchman or whatever. I still picture the Hatchman from the TRO. And there's especially the older ones, the fossil ones that we'll talk about here. Those were the ones that I kind of grew up in BattleTech with. And so that artwork is even more ingrained into me. And some of them are very interesting and very different than what we have now, but it's still like my mind harkens back to those original TROs, and that's how I got to know the universe, but especially like that kind of like adrenaline feeling. Oh, that's an awesome mech. That came for me, that came from the TRO, not necessarily from the fiction side. Fiction kind of came later for me, but it was the TROs. It was like, oh, that looks so sweet. That's, you know, I want to play with that one. It was driven by the TROs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's one of those things too, like you don't, one of my, well, we can get into that later, but, you know, you really get sucked into like an image from a unit, you know, or a mech or a tank or whatever else. And you get sucked into that piece of it and go, man, that's, I love that unit. That's awesome. You know, just yeah. the way the artwork is, you know,
or this or is the goofiest thing I've ever seen. Right.
We're looking at you, human.
I'm looking at the Kentaro hips right now, baby.
That's fair. That's fair. So a lot of the Tiros you can get on the Catalyst Games Lab store as PDFs when they have them in stock as hard copies. You can also get them through DriveThruRPG, and Ares Games and Minis has some as well. So, I mean, you just got to kind of look around for them. But for the most part, like I was telling you guys earlier, I don't really buy a lot of hard copy TROs anymore because I'm like, well, I'll just get the PDF and, you know, look up what I need to look up when I'm there. You know, I don't have all the free time I used to have as a teenager, you know, just sitting in my room thumbing through the TRO over and over and over again, you know.
Yeah, there's so many now that it's like PDF is a great way to be able to kind of categorize it and pick and choose out of those different ones instead of, think back in the day, and maybe Ben, you can speak to this, but it was more of like, oh, this is the new thing. And so you would kind of move from TRO to TRO, whereas now it's like this vast array of them that you kind of pick and choose from.
Yeah, and that was a thing. I mean, the first book I ever picked up for Battletech was TRO 3025 with all the unseen art in it and stuff. And, you know, and there it was like, that was it. There wasn't much else out there, you know. And then when TRO 3050 dropped and everybody lost their minds because of the whole clans and like there's yeah. Omnimex now and like the rules and construction and all that. I mean, you know, there just wasn't a lot of stuff. So you jump right from, you know, 3025 to 3050 and just be looking at the different artwork, the different, you know, little notable pilots in there, you know, little pieces and tidbits in there. So yeah, you get a different mindset when you're looking at that stuff. So
agreed.
All right. So, the types of TROs that are available out there. So there's a couple different things to look at in this kind of category here, the types of TROs. So when you look at it, There's basically three categories. There's the FASA original TROs, there's the WizKids fan probe TROs, and then there's CGL's rec guides or all the other things that they've popped into the CGL side a little bit. But going off of the original, the FASA TROs, I mean, you had TROs that were, you know, strictly devoted to just mechs. Pull out 3025 here and look at that. So the original 3025 was a compilation of mechs, vehicles, and aerospace. And you got that sweet, sweet 80s like schematic art, you know.
I still love like the line drawing or whatever you call it. Yeah, it's still cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's even lambs in here. You know, it's phenomenal. So there's some phenomenal stuff in here, but you know, just looking through those original TROs, and then as they started going down the road of the next generation of TROs, you know, I want to say 2750 was the next one after that,
where they kind of backed it up and went backwards. Yeah, sometime, I guess.
Yeah, 1989 is when the 2750 came out, so that was like the Star League stuff, you know, that was mm-hmm. all the original, like, you know, the Kanga tank, but it had mechs, it had vehicles, it had aerospace, it had jump ships, it had, you know, drop ships in it, you had warships in it, you know, so there was a lot, and you even had personal equipment in there too, you know, like mech warrior equipment, like, you know, emergency jet pack and the gripper gloves and the, you know, the Mauser 960 was in there, which is probably my favorite MechWarrior small arms to deal with, you know. But there's a lot of cool stuff in there. And then I think they jumped to 3026, which was all vehicles and personal equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, that one came out in 87. So, so 87 for 3026, 86 for the original 3025, 87 for the 3026, and then 89 for 2750. So those were pretty much the staples for a lot of BattleTech players back then, were those three books, you know? I mean, the original 3050, 1990. So,
yeah, that was where I kind of hopped in, was I think that was the first TRO that I really got into. And then afterwards I got the 3025 and 3026, but that coming out with the clans and everything, that was pretty crazy to have so much in that 3050. I think a lot of change for a lot of people. So,
So yeah, you had a lot of the core stuff was in the FASA days. You know, I mean, you know, 3050 got revised. I want to say that got revised due to the Harmony Gold thing, right? Because they had to take out a lot of the unseen mechs.
Mm, wouldn't surprise me. Yeah,
that sounds about right.
Yeah. So I want to say that's the reason there. And then the same thing for the 3025. They had to revise that one and take out a lot of the unseen mechs in that one as well. Yep. There's no Warhammer. There's no Marauder anymore. So
there's tears on people's faces.
I know. So they had two revisions in there. And then you jump to 3055. Which was, I wasn't that's a like big fan of that art.
Well, it's like the Inner Sphere Response, right? Or is that more 3058? I can't remember. It's kind of like where all the new Inner Sphere tech kind of pops out in those ones.
Yeah, I mean, 3055, where's that one at? So many books. So many. That had a lot of the second line clan mechs in it. You know, it had the cover with the Stone Rhino on it, or the...
Oh, okay.
Behemoth, whatever you want to call it, clanners. You know,
yeah, so I must be thinking of 3058, where it's got like the Bushwhacker and those ones on that.
Yeah, 3058. That's where you had like the Inner Sphere Omnis coming into play.
Yeah, there we go.
And in between those two, you also had 3057. That was all jump ships and drop ships. You know.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So. You got a lot of interesting things in that one for all you aerotech, you know, battle space type folks. You know, that's a good resource for a lot of that stuff. You know,
well, it seems like if you're gonna try and play aerospace or like, you know, any type of basing games, most of it is all older stuff. Like the new ones don't have a lot of that, unless I'm wrong, but. There's just so much in each of those TROs that, like, I mean, a lot of the later ones are kind of like, you know, you've got like alternate versions of different ones, but they were already established by these older TROs. So,
right. 58, yeah. Yeah, 3058 had a bunch of Inner Sphere conventional vehicles. Then you also had, yeah, it was just all the kind of the upgrades to the 3026 vehicles from all the new weapons and equipment that had come out. You have the new, a lot of the new, you know, Inner Sphere Omnis that were popping up, and some of your clan battle mechs that were coming into play, you know, the Grizzly, the Nightjire, the Kodiak, all those kind of things. So it had the Bushwhacker on the cover of it, you know.
Yeah.
There's cool stuff there, you know. Then we jump to 3060, which had a lot more of the Inner Sphere Omnis. It also introduced the Protomechs. Some clan vehicles were in there.
Gross.
Like the Donar and the Donar assault helicopter that everybody loves using.
Ooh, love that thing.
Eponas came out then, you know, Mars assault vehicles, all that kind of cool stuff. So you had a lot of interesting stuff, but, you know, the art was a little, you know, it kind of harkened back to a lot of the original TROs, but it seemed to be a little bit cleaner on some things. And a lot of those, too, were a lot of those older source books, they would put like one or two or three or four vehicles or mechs that went along with the source book, you know. you think back to like the original Invading Clans source book that came out, each clan had its own specific mech. Like, you know, the Hankyu was in there, and Grizzly was in there, and that kind of stuff. And then they took those out of the source book and put them in their own TRO. So that's where you started compiling some of those things in there.
How do you think this changeover from Bossa to the WizKids, do you think that it changed the TROs much? As far as the art, or as far as the content or anything?
I don't think there was a huge change to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was still the same kind of art until you get to like the Project Phoenix stuff with WizKids. You know, I go back to, you know, I want to say the first one. Well, they did some revisions on like 3058, 3057 when WizKids took over. The revised 3025 was under FASA still. And then your revised 3026 was under FAMPRO and WizKids. So, which they basically just kept a lot of the same art, you know. They just put a new cover on it.
Yeah.
But I think the first, like, well, I don't know, my favorite TRO from WizKids FAMPRO days was 3067 with the Sagittaire on the front of it, you know. I love that artwork. You know, you get a lot of interesting kind of layouts, and some of the art got a little weird as you went down that road, because you also had, where was it, Project Phoenix that came out around that time that kind of fixed a lot of the unseen mechs in some regards.
I don't know if I'd seen 3067, but I just looked up the cover, and that is the Sagittaire looks different than the mini does.
yeah, it definitely looks a little bit different than what the Iron Winds Metal mini came out with. But I think the new CGL Plastic mini is a little bit better, you know, in line with that type of art, you know.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, you get into the WizKids era. I mean, you've got, you know, another, you know, 3026 TRO, a 3055 upgrade, 3057 revised, 3058 upgrade, 3067 Project Phoenix, and they have a TRO vehicle annex. And that was an interesting one, because the 3030, the TRO vehicle annex, thingo, there it is. So you had a revision under CGL, and the original FanPro one, I mean, it had a lot of like support stuff in it, you know.
I'm looking at it here, and it's like it starts off with these wheeled support vehicles that look like little racing cars and like motorcycles. It's got some wild artwork here too.
There's some wild stuff in there, man. So if you want to get into some of your wheeled or your crazy support vehicles and stuff, I mean, the Prairie Schooner Land Train.
The Aston Martin Fiver series. This is awesome. I haven't looked at this one before.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in here, man. Wow Hang Charioteer.
See, what we should do is we should run an event where you could only bring units from this TRO.
That'd be pretty slick.
Everyone just brings out their Hot Wheels and we'll roll out, man.
I love there's some artwork here. It's the Knox Bailey Armored Cars. And on the side of it's got Brinks. The Brinks Armored Cars.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at that one.
Yeah. That's pretty slick. So, fire engines, ambulances, you know, personal cars. You know, there's a lot of crazy stuff in here. But, it's kind of a neat little kind of toss out there, you know.
But like it fleshes out the universe, so it like feels in like, oh well, what about fire trucks, you know? Are there fire trucks and whatnot? It's like you can come to this and it really fleshes it out to be more of a realistic thing, rather than we only talk about, you know, things that destroy other things,
combat vehicles and stuff, you know, the military. This TRO
kind of fills in some of that gap that really fleshes it out, so that and you could throw these things into fiction or whatnot, but it's just kind of cool to see, oh, you know, they've put this effort into making it more than just this battle, you know, you're only battling. So I like this. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a neat little annex, you know. So yeah, that was most of the WizKids fan pro TROs I was able to track down. And then you get into the CGL TROs, and there's quite a lot. When CGL took over, they kind of redid a lot of the covers, redid a lot of the artwork. So sticking with some of the staples, I mean, they went back and redid TRO 3060, TRO 3055 upgrade, 3067. The vehicle annex got revised. They also went back and did a TRO 3039 for the War 3039. I thought that was kind of neat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started getting in a lot of the newer stuff, TRO 3075, 3085, 3145, 3150. You had TROs for the Succession Wars. You had TRO for Clan Invasion. You had a TRO 3085 supplemental. You had TRO Jihad, TRO Golden Century, which is kind of neat.
Well, and they even split some of these, really, as like you've got the 3145, but then you have like 3145 for each faction. So like the
right.
Castellans and Capellans and stuff. And so it's like, you're getting deep into these specific factions instead of just broadly, this is what's available in this era. It's like, for this era, these are the ones that you're going to find in this faction. So I think that's another level of complexity, too.
Yeah, yeah. So you get into that all the great houses, all the different, you know, like they had a TRO periphery, you know, a TRO pirates, or were those the X-TROs? Because you also had the X-TROs.
And there's tons of those.
Yeah, there's so many of those. I mean, there's like X-TRO Most Wanted, and it's a bunch of like criminals, you know, that are running X and stuff. You had X-TRO Gunslinger. You had X-TRO
Boondocks
and Boondoggle.
Yeah, know? That's right.
The Boondoggle was all the like the failures of stuff that got produced.
Yeah, again, which really makes it a realistic universe.
Right, right. You know, so you get a lot of that stuff where it's you're really diving into. I mean, you could get all the TROs out there and spend months just going through those, you know, looking at different stuff, finding different little nuggets in there and things like that, you know. And you also had the recognition guides.
Yeah.
Which I think most people are familiar with now that are in the current play scene, you know. I mean, they had the recognition guides that started coming out, you know, and that was basically all the new art that was coming out for a lot of stuff.
And so all of those are gathered in those new volume 1 and 2, right? Classics and Ilclan. If I thought they were, but I could be wrong.
Let me double check my copy real quick. Let's go tech readout 3150. Nope.
So I know that's what it was like, those that new classics and the new Ilclan one that came out were supposed to be kind of a compilation of at least some of those records. I'm not sure. I mean, recognition guides, but
yeah, I think they were kind of like just new stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, looking through some of the stuff, you know, you get the Raider, the Anzu, there's what was that? The Dragon, the Vulture Mark II was in there. That's in 3150. Thor 2. What the hell is that thing? Oh, the Hadamadasuna. Yeah.
But it definitely, these were the one, these are like the latest TROs, right? Is the recognition.
Yeah. Yeah. 3150, and then the recognition guides themselves, you know, okay. Which is, I mean, there's volume 1 through 33.
Yeah, something like that. Yep. 33, I think.
So that's got all.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah. That it's got the record sheets at the back, and just kind of like comparing those to the original Vasa ones, like the newer ones have even more information than those originals did, and it's a little bit more, I like the structure of it, where it has the different sections for, where you've got like the kind of the whole overview, and then the capabilities, battle history, and then it goes into those notable mech warriors and stuff, and then, you know, often has a whole bunch of different configurations and stuff, especially for the Omnis. But Whereas the other one, you know, the older FOSSs had like this description, but it wasn't always broken up and there was definitely less to it. So you're definitely getting even more depth to each of these units in these latest ones.
Yeah. And you know, with the red guides too, I mean, it talks about like, you know, the inception, or it talks about the upgrades that have happened to the assembly line type stuff for the particular unit. But you've also got like the notable pilots in there that go back, you know, some of them are like, you know, in the current era, some of them are in different eras, you know, so it's interesting to kind of go through those. What I'd really like to see is them to take all the ret guys and put them in one book.
Just all together,
you know.
Agreed.
That'd be a big book.
Would be a big book. I agree. But you, the can, master. You can do it. So that's kind of the down and dirty from all the TROs that I was able to track down. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, and they all, you know, there's a few. Anytime it's an upgrade or a revised, it's usually just a rehash of the old ones where they either took out stuff or added some new stuff that popped up or at what point. But if it's just a standalone kind of TRO 3067, TRO 3039, you know, you're going to see some of the same type stuff, but there's also going to be a lot more new stuff in it, you know.
Well, I'll just really say that, again, I really like these things. They're really cool in my mind. And I like the whole, like, going from the old ones to the new ones. There's definitely different things about them. You definitely kind of get more information in the older ones, in the newer ones. But in the older ones, it's still kind of that line art still kind of draws on my heart a little bit. And seeing some of the goofiness of some of the units, like I was mentioning the Kentaro's hips and 3050 and some of the other ones that they just seem, you know, funny looking back at them. But when you look at the new stuff, it looks a lot more clean, a lot more functional in some ways, a lot less kind of eccentric is how I would put it, which is cool too. And I really like it. And I think the newer ones have kind of translated a little bit better to the plastics, to the minis and stuff, and maybe make a little bit more sense. But I like seeing all of it. There's kind of like this diversity within the TROs, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the new artwork that's coming out in a lot of these TROs. You know, I like how they've kind of made them a little bit more what's in my mind's eye that a battle mech is, you know?
Yeah. And like the artwork itself is much more complicated. It's less kind of, it's more 3D-ish in a way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's like in some, there's like shading added and all this stuff. And so it does make it more lifelike, kind of like, oh, I could see that stomping around on a battlefield. Whereas some of the other ones, it's a little bit more like, oh, that's cool as a concept, but I wouldn't see like, you know, it's very like almost Transformer, like where it's very straight lines, no curves whatsoever, type of thing. Whereas the new ones, it's a little bit more nuanced and stuff like that. So I do enjoy the new art as well.
I'd say I even see like a campaign or RPG aspect use to these as well, because, you know, it does go into the capabilities and whatnot of like each specific thing. So if you want to play your unit within its intended role and capability set, it's a lot easier to do that with that knowledge. And that's the TROs is where you get that from.
Yeah, and you have those you have the names right there of some specific pilots and stuff, which is really cool, because you could have one of those like leading your unit or something. So that would be another really cool thing to include.
What's some cool tidbits you guys have picked out from some of your favorite TRO stuff? Mike, we'll start with you, since you got like one TRO.
I've got two. I will admit, I've barely looked at them, because since I'm still relatively newer, most of my time is in the actual rule books. And then since I've had a hiatus from gaming due to work and getting ready to leave over the past year, you end up forgetting a lot of the rules. So you end up going back into the rule books and getting refreshers. But I mean, it's nice going in here, and like my introduction was the Clicks and MechWarrior 4 mercenaries and like just pulling up and even seeing like the Chimera, which is a mech you get pretty quickly in MechWarrior 4 Mercenaries, and getting some background information on that. But like I mentioned, like just getting the specific capabilities, these intended capabilities of the units, is super nice. And getting the information on like its initial deployment and how it went once manufacture was once they were rolling off the, you know, the manufacturer line and how that all went. But yeah, I didn't have much time for homework because I've been setting up my house. So I'm sorry.
That's all right. We'll allow you a pass on that one.
I'll be better.
Read a book.
I'm trying.
Matt, what about you? Cool tidbits that you like out of your some of your favorite TROs?
Well, yeah, I'll just go back to my the old one that I have, 3050. I grew up with this one with I've got two brothers and one of my brothers was really into it with me. And I think one of the coolest things, and this is like sounds super dorky when I think about it, but we would take these TROs and we would actually like draw in them. So these older ones, they just come with this kind of line art of the mech, but we would like draw the like the AC blasts coming out and like shells raining off and like lasers, you know, flying out and stuff. And so we have like this, like it's almost like a coloring book. It's kind of funny, but it like brought it to life where, you know, the actual book is pretty, I mean, there's no color whatsoever except for the covers. It's in a way bland, but it still like created this like, oh, I see it in my mind's eye a little bit. But then if you look at some of the newer ones, like let me see, I've got TRO the Dark Age, the newer set here, and I'm just looking at one, let's see, the Ursus 2. So the artwork is pretty cool and they've like kind of shaded it and stuff to make it look like it's been used and things like that. But even just including a little bit of a background kind of brings it more to life in a lot of these ways. And the artwork does make it look even cooler and a little bit more realistic. I think one of the things that I really like about them is this kind of progression. So if you take them chronologically, you can kind of see this build up. You know, Dark Age, I think, goes a little bit bonkers with the build up, but then they kind of rein it back in a little bit with all the newer Ilclan stuff. But I really like that kind of buildup of technology buildup, and you see these units change over time. So, I mean, you could look at where the Trebuchet started, and then you see all the variants through the different TROs kind of pop, or through some of the TROs pop up. And you see these not only new things, but also things that have been modified over time. So it's just like this, it creates this living feel to the universe if you have this suite of TROs. I love looking back at the old ones and then looking at the new ones and see kind of how far we've come. Another thing is that the new ones just have so much information to them. So there's a lot of things you can do with that information. Say, you know, you want to fight over a world and this world produces, you know, Martel medium lasers or whatever. That has a real consequence to some of these units because it tells you these are Martel medium lasers for, you know, whatever unit for your Jenner or whatnot. So if you have a Jenner and you lose the planet, then you can't have your Martel medium laser or something, you know. So it just adds even more, again, a little bit more complexity to whatever you want to go. You can go even deeper than last episode we talked about these faction source books, but this is another level that you can go to deeper, but on kind of the combat unit side of things. So it really goes into depth and it gives you a lot of stuff that you can play with as far as gaming, but also just that depth of universe. So I really like the new ones for that depth of universe. If you haven't picked up a TRO yet, you should give one a chance. You know, maybe some of the newer ones might be a good place to start, but I like the recognition guides as well. You know, them only starting to come out in PDFs was different because most of the stuff previous or a lot of the stuff previously was paper first and then PDF. But if you haven't tried them out yet, they're really cool. I love them.
I'll say I do have a small gripe though, right?
Oh boy.
That I'm looking in my Clan Invasion one, right?
What's missing?
The clan names.
Don't need to worry about that.
You know, I'm open to page 6061, and it's labeled Mad Cat, and you have to get to the text where it says, oh yeah, it's known as a Timberwolf. No, it is a Timberwolf, and it's known as a Mad Cat. But, or, you know, that's...
You're so clan-centric.
That's a gripe of mine, but...
You are right, though. You are right.
Well, and you also got to look at it, too, like, usually in the front of the newer TRF, or TROs, some of those newer TROs that are out there, this is supposed to be, you know, especially the CGL stuff, you know.
In-universe, right?
It's like an in-universe kind of thing. So, like, yeah. You know, when you look at, like, TRO Clan Invasion, you know, that's the Inner Sphere compiling the reports on, you know, the units that are out there on the battlefield. And, you know, that's, you know, somebody giving a briefing, basically. I know you're on terminal reading and everything, but I know you're
a star guy, right?
In the table of contents, it has the clan name in parentheses like it does on the Alpha Strike card.
Right.
I just wish the actual page also had the name in parentheses. That's a small gripe.
Yeah.
And for the newer stuff, too, it does mention in the very front, like, literally, it's right next to the table of contents on credits for TRO Clan Invasion. It shows, like, where it's including a bunch of stuff from. So, like, this one's including information from 3050 Upgrade, 3055, 3058, 60, 67, Project Phoenix. So, it's showing where it's reaching from in the past with the original stuff, which is nice.
Right? Yeah, because it's kind of like a
compilation.
Yeah, it's like a compilation, but not everything, right? They like picked and chose between all those and pulled them in. So it's like a different take on the same era, but it's coming from a lot of sources.
The most popular units for specifically this one, the Clan Invasion, but it doesn't have everything, you know?
Yeah, I was always a big fan, especially of the earlier TROs, because, I mean, back in the late 80s, early 90s, when I was getting into the game and stuff, like, there weren't a lot of source books. I mean, you had your basic box set, you had your master rule book or your battle tech rule book, and there wasn't a lot of source material to understand what was going on in the universe other than the occasional novel that was coming out, which was, you know, the three Grey Death Legion books and then, you know, the Sword and Dagger and the Warrior Trilogy. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff going on. So what was really fascinating to me was the TROs themselves, especially like 3025 and 3026. It talked about like different battles being fought between the successor states, and who won, who lost, you know. And it also had like little tidbits in there too, like because during that time frame of 3025, 3026, you know, the units were not necessarily, they were more like personally owned mechs kind of thing. You know, you didn't have a large industrial base that was pushing out mechs left and right kind of thing for everybody to have one. You know, it's like basically, you know, you're going off to the Civil War with your, you know, your own hunting rifle that you normally carry to go hunt food for your family kind of thing. So it's neat in there that a lot of those are personally owned mechs, and each one of them is kind of a little... Like, I was just reading one about the Commando in here. Where was that at? Where it talked about, like, this particular guy's, you know, Holly SRM rack doesn't work right sometimes, you know? So it's those cool little tidbits that you get into that you're just like, oh, man, it brings life to, you know, it's not just a book of here's a mech image, here's the stats, and here's the capabilities kind of thing, but it gives a little bit of life, you know, and the battle history of what the capabilities allow it to do during a battle thing. I thought that was kind of neat with a lot of those earlier TROs especially, you know.
Yeah, I really enjoy using these as kind of a backup, similar to what we talked about last time with those faction source books, but for the combat vehicles and combat mechs and stuff, when you read it in the fiction and you're like, oh, I want to know more about that, this is the place to come and learn more about those particular units and stuff and find out, you know, what are their different different variants of this and things like that. So again, it really expands on that universe in the fiction.
Yeah, and especially like looking at the original 3026, I mean, the last 10, 20, 15, 20 pages is all like personal gear. I mean, you got like personal equipment, you got rechargers, you got the laser rifles, ballistic rifles, you know, gyro jet rifles. There's, you know, all kinds of cool little cybernetics is in here, light exoskeletons, and all that kind of stuff is really neat to me to kind of be able to really let your imagination kind of fill in the blanks of the universe kind of thing, you know?
I almost wish, you know, that because this is really the tarots were where the artwork came from for most of Battletech's history. And I almost kind of wish they would take like all this cool new digital artwork and like make a TRO with it and be like, you know, TRO cool looking mechs or something like that. And just use all the cool images that they've got, you know, of the Marauder and the Battlemaster, all the cool ones that we see popping up. That'd be kind of neat. Kind of cool.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I tell a lot of guys too, that, you know, when we're talking about like writing stuff and things like that, you know, the TROs have, there's so many little throwaway lines in there of the writers, you know, putting stuff in there and just, you know, having a little, you know, paragraph of what the unit was doing in a particular place in a particular time, you know. And it may not even be tied to a battle at all. You know, it may have just been a weird, you know, one-off kind of thing, you know. You know, example where I got the idea for that Swamp Fox story in Shrapnel 13, I think. You know, looking at the monitor gunship in TRO 3026 and was like, oh, cool. It kind of talks about, you know, it fighting off three or four mechs and, you know, one of the monitors, and, you know, and I was like, oh, that's kind of a neat little tidbit here. I want to flesh that out. I want to make that a bigger thing and a bigger part of the universe kind of thing. So for those up and coming writers that are looking for something or looking for an idea, I mean, dive into those TROs. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that you're just like, oh, cool. You know, let's expand on that. You know, let's flesh that out, and you can keep it within the realms of not having to, you know, deal with major characters or major plot lines or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, pick one of those notable mech warriors or something and develop them.
Give them a backstory. Yeah. Develop them, you know?
You've already got a start, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the idea is pretty much there. You just got to kind of flesh it out, you know? And that's, you know, it's a good writing practice for a lot of folks, yeah, too. So, all right, cool tidbits. What about artwork? I think we've talked about that a little bit.
It's definitely changed and it's definitely gotten, I think, more complex, more nuanced. I like both styles. I'm a kind of a nostalgic guy. And so that old line blocky art really speaks to me in the nostalgic way, but the new stuff looks better, I think, and looks more realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm still going to love my TRO 2750 Flashman artwork. You know? I'm still going to love my 3025 Warhammer artwork from the original one, you know. But I mean, definitely the newer art that's out there in a lot of these rec guides and the new TROs that are coming out is even better sometimes, you know.
Yeah. When I one example is the Clan Omnimax and the 3050 are just straight flat 2D drawings, and they're so like, they're kind of iconic, but they're not great.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the, you know, 3055, I think was where they tried to go with like anime artwork almost. You know, and it was just like, oh, that gets a little goofy, you know. It gets a little weird. But I mean, yeah, a lot of the blocky type line art for a lot of those older mechs, you know, they don't have much. They're just kind of standing there, you know. They're not really doing anything else, you know. Maybe walking, but
maybe,
you know,
or just leaning really far forward.
Or far backwards. Like I was just looking at the Ossol in the 3025 TRO. It's like he's almost getting ready to fall over kind of thing.
A la Penetrator.
Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely, art's come a long way from late 80s, for sure.
Yeah, like some of these, I'm like, that thing is way off balance. That would fall over.
That's what the Mech Warrior's for, bro.
He's ignoring it.
Just let it happen.
Just let it happen.
All right, anything else on TRO stuff?
They're awesome. If you don't have some, grab some PDFs.
Yeah, definitely check them out. I mean, those XTROs are wild. I mean, there's some
pick your favorite. Pick the Boondoggles. Go for it.
The Boondoggles is phenomenal just because it's all these failed like designs of things that are just like.
Yeah, if you think some of them on the board are actually really bad, then yeah, look at Boondoggles.
Yeah, that's a pretty great one. So, all right, anything else TRO-wise? Nothing heard. All right. Moving on to the drink of the month.
Oh, what?
Hey, all. This is Ben here, your Battletech Master of Spirits. Get your mixers, liquors, shakers, stirrers, and strainers ready as we cover this month's Battletech drink of the month.
So this month's drink of the month is called the Human TRO, and I just made this one up because I was like, you know what? We're out of our list, and we got to start making some better drinks.
Oh, so, we finished it? We finished it?
Well, there's like two more on there that I'm like, I'm not even attempting those. I can't do it. We got to get in some new hotness.
Approved.
Some new hotness. So,
it's a good way to start season three of the show.
Exactly. Let's bring the new hotness in, you know, and let's revamp some things. So, I took this from the SPA, the special pilot ability of Human TRO, which allows you to shoot at a target and potentially score a critical hit because you know all the weak points, right? So the Human TRO is three parts strawberry watermelon C4 energy drink, some crushed ice, and vodka to taste. So it gives you a little bit of hyper focus.
And the vodka to hit you in the weak point.
That's right. So
have you done this one, Ben?
I did. I kind of experimented with it a little bit. I was like, you know what, that's not bad. You know? it's got some good flavor to it, you know. I probably used a little bit more vodka than I should have. I had to balance it out with more C4, so and then I was up for like six more hours.
Yeah. If you have a heart condition, though, don't drink C4 energy drink.
That's true.
Oh, man.
It'll get you going.
Because C4 is a pre-workout, and those things are loaded with caffeine.
Yeah, I think it's 240 milligrams of caffeine.
Yeah, bud.
Oh, man. That's a good way to start your day, too.
This might be one of the first ones that I'm like, I'll drink that.
You think it?
You know, because all the other ones, I'm like, that sounds like ass.
Yeah. Give it a shot, you know, or four. But it's pretty tasty. And, you know, that's your drink of the month. All right. Matt, you want to talk about upcoming action?
Sure. The SoCal Open happening near San Diego in actually Del Mar, so just between San Diego and LA, happening October 19th and 20th. We've got a classic event on the 19th. It'll be in the Il Clan era. It's MRC rules based, so a good rule set. And Jesty is running both of these events. On the 20th, we'll have an Alpha Strike 350 tournament. I believe it'll be three or four rounds. I mean, maybe it'll be four rounds. I know the classic event will be three rounds. So if you're in the area or you want to come hang out in Southern California when it gets a little bit cool in your area, come to San Diego and it'll be a nice time. Myself and I know Greg's going from here in the Colorado crew. And so if you want to come hang out, especially if you're in California, you better be there. So, see you there. Next, we've got KSAG, which I saw over the last month many explanations for this acronym. I'm not going to make up my own. Just I'll say that it's the Wolfnet Crew and has something to do with Cruel, which is their last name. So happening in Minneapolis, December 6th through the 8th. This is going to be a three-day Battletech-only convention in a way. So there'll be lots of events going on, lots of different things. They'll definitely have an Alpha Strike 350 tournament happening. I don't remember which day. They'll also have a doubles tournament happening, I believe, on the first day, which is the Friday, I think the 6th. Let's see what else. They've got a whole, I can't even remember all the different events that are happening there. But if you're in the area or you want to hang out for 3 days and roll a lot of dice and just see a ton of Battletech, meet a bunch of great people and stuff. I know Ben's going up. Myself, I'm going up. Greg also from the Colorado crew. A bunch of the podcasters, especially from the Midwest. Yeah, so look for more details on that on the Wolfnet Discord. We've got a lot of details. They have their own KSAG channel there. Ben, back to you if you want to talk about techs.
So yeah, for those of you that are in the know or not in the know, the Black Pants Legion is coming out with a new video/movie. And it's going to be the Techs Talks Battletech, the Turning Point at Twycross. So definitely give that a check out. He is running a charity drive right now for cancer. This movie was made in memory of one of his friends. So if you want to get in there and help out, fight cancer a little bit, and see some really cool video, and just listen to Texas voice, go and check it out. It'll be on YouTube and by the time this comes out. So
yep, should come out this weekend. So
yep. Anything else? Any other upcoming actions?
I don't think so for now.
All right, shout outs.
All right, for me, shout outs is going to be the border control folks for both the Canada border and then coming back into Alaska. It was super smooth and painless. If you've got all your documents ready ahead of time, man, it's a breeze. I've heard plenty of nightmare stories, though, but for us on this journey, it was super smooth. So thank you to those two individuals for being super awesome. And then, again, shouting out to fam for being champs during this long drive. We, mix it up half and half between camping on the way up and some hotel stops, hit a couple national parks. It was a good time. And then, since we're doing a TRO episode, I'm going to give a shout-out to the On the Origins crew for being the TRO-style podcast, because they do a great job.
They are the verbal TRO. It's true. For myself, I'm just going to say thank you to all of you out there that are gamers of whatever way. Most of the time, gaming is fantastic and is a great stress relief for me and for other people. So I'm just grateful to have communities of gamers that are looking to get out there and just have fun. Because sometimes we're not out there just looking for fun. And I think it's a great thing in nowadays, in our current society, just to have a place to just chill, just have fun with other people and be good, chill dudes. So all of you, thank you and keep on doing it. Over to Ben.
And for me, shout outs go out to Greg, aka Talls, for making the time to get a game of Epic in to kind of test that out a little bit. And all the players that showed up for the Colorado Open AS350 Cash Tournament. Really appreciate everybody coming out. Hope everybody had a good time. And looking forward to the next one. And that's all the shout-outs.
Nice.
Patreon plug.
Yeah, rounding it out with the Patreon plug. Just want to thanks again to all of our patrons. If you want to get a sneak peek at some upcoming topics, the patrons get the sneak peek first. People have made suggestions in the past, and patron suggestions go to the top of the list for topics. So, and all the help, whether monetary or idea, is extremely helpful. So Thanks to our patrons.
All right. And I believe that's last call.
Last call, last y'all. Call.
Thanks for joining us today in the Valhalla Club. If you'd like to hang out with us and many other Battletech podcasters, then be sure to join our Discord. Link is in the description. Special thanks to our sponsor, Ares Games and Miniatures. Ares is the premier online retailer for all your Battletech needs. If you would like to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thevalhallaclub. If you have any comments, please feel free to send an email to thevalhallaclub@outlook.com. Until next time, mech fans.